Are there people in your life that you wish you were like? When you're at work and you pass by a certain manager or leader, do you recognize that they have certain talents or skills that you envy, that you're really glad to know them? You're thankful that they're in command of that section of the company, perhaps the president of the company, directing us, guiding us forward? People like that have certain values, certain traits that show externally, and somehow many of us are attracted to those traits, those interests, those abilities. In order to have those things, they have strengths that help them possess and exude those qualities. Today, we're going to talk about the exact opposite, identifying and overcoming your weaknesses. You see, once we identify our weaknesses, we can make a plan to slowly improve upon them and turn them into strengths. But you'll only be able to do that if you tune into today's show. Career Growth Made Easy podcast number 195 is up next. I was an engineer and in 2008 lost my job due to the economic collapse. Jobs were scarce. I didn't know where to turn to get help updating my resume. Online services and coaches charge hundreds, even thousands of dollars. I took matters into my own hands and learned how to craft interview-winning resumes. Shortly later, I landed a job with a Fortune 500 company. I have helped many achieve similar success. Now I share my tips to create interview-winning resumes, interviewing excellence, and high-performance growth strategies on my podcast, Career Growth Made Easy. Welcome back to the Career Growth Made Easy podcast. I'm your host, Craig Ansell. I can't believe it either. We are rolling into episode 195. Oh, so close to hitting that magic 200 number. It's been a blast over all these years, and I hope you're enjoying the shows as much as I enjoy putting them together for you. I asked in the intro if in your personal life or your professional, there were people that you just kind of really felt comfortable with, really felt close to, kind of... I'll fix that audio there from my computer. Sorry about that. Some type of reminder popped up. If there's people in your life that you just, you kind of want to emulate, right? They have some type of traits or characteristics that you recognize and agree with, really feel comfortable around. Potentially at work, there might be somebody in a management role or a leadership role that you envy. You're really proud to know them and glad that they're on the team and the position they are. Think of it as the owner of a company you work for, potentially, or the president of a larger corporation. You like the way they communicate when they send out their news bulletins, their briefs, their videograms, whatever it is, and you're just really amazed at how well they speak and how confident they are and the strong leadership they possess. My point is, what's happening behind all that? There are strengths helping them to achieve those abilities to communicate clearly, effectively, and strongly. So how did they get there? Well, they may have been born with them, sure. Very few people are born with that ability just to be a natural leader. However, they could have developed them over the years. So for today's show, we're talking about the exact opposite, identifying and overcoming your weaknesses. In an earlier show, I talked about SWOT. No, not da-na-na-na, the police. The acronym was SWOT. And it can be used for a number of things, evaluating businesses and so forth, but I also use it internally to evaluate interview clients. I use it to evaluate people's abilities on certain scales. The SWOT stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. However, for today, we're specifically going to talk about the weaknesses part. I'll bounce back to one thing I said earlier about using it for interviewing or interview clients. There have been a couple cases that have happened recently when I've been talking to small and large business human resource professionals and recruiters that I just wanted to mention on today's show because I found it kind of interesting. Several of the companies that I spoke to had said, "Craig, there's a few things that I dislike when it comes to recruiting and interviewing, and here's one that really stunned me." And this actually played across to multiple people, multiple human resource professionals and recruiters, so I wanted to share it with you. When someone was asked what their strengths were, they noted one or more. But when they were asked, the specific individual was asked, hey, tell me something about your weaknesses. The person kind of, set their shoulders up straight, looked at them confidently in the eye, and said, I don't have any weaknesses. Well, needless to say, in this example, for two different companies actually said a little bit differently, neither of those people received the job offer. Everybody has at least one strength, and everybody has at least one weakness. And if that's not you, then listen to this. If you have two or more strengths, you obviously should rank them. Your top strength is a strength. Your second or your least strength is, guess what? A weakness, okay? Just a simple way to say it. Your least strength is a weakness. Not only should you mention your weakness when you're interviewing, but then you should also have a plan on how you're trying to improve it. Either you have improved it or you're working to improve it because you've recently noticed it. But coming back to today's show, identifying and overcoming your weaknesses. What areas in your life do you think you have weaknesses with? If you're not certain, maybe you could do some type of analysis, self-analysis. Doesn't that sound fun, Craig? I know. But we're going to get through it today on this show. Are there areas in your life that you enjoy doing certain things? I'm sure, right? But then there's some areas, well, I don't mind doing that, but it's not my favorite activity, whether it's personal or professional, right? It's at home or it's in the office or working out, in the field for pay. But then we go down to the next step. There's activities we simply don't like to do. Now, if you're asking me on a personal level, I don't know what I'd call it a weakness, but I would tell you activities I don't like to do. It's no fun scraping the cat box, right? And it's no fun taking out the trash. And then certain days of the week, at least in Central Florida, we have recycling, okay? I love the recycling aspect. I learned a lot about it when I was in Scouts with my son, but taking out those tubs of recycling, cans, bottles, jars, whatever it is, milk jugs, it can get taxing, So maybe I don't like that, all right? Is it a weakness? I don't know. But if you want to talk about your professional lives, weaknesses, how do they rear their ugly heads? Well, there's going to be some tasks or activities that you like to do, as I mentioned earlier, in your personal life. But then there's going to be some tasks and activities you're willing to do at work, but they're really not your favorite or you don't prefer them. And sometimes, I know we're working, we don't have the option, we don't have that choice to pick and choose what we want to do. But then here's the kicker. The main part of today's show, identifying and overcoming your weakness. First, we have to identify our weaknesses so that we can then make a plan to overcome them. There's going to be tasks and activities at work you choose not to do, or you seem to avoid them at all costs. There can be times where you know this task or activity, this project, whatever you want to call it, is required, and you just don't want to do it. You're hoping somebody else is willing to do it, or maybe your leadership will somehow overlook it and maybe it doesn't need to be done this hour, this day, this week, this month. Or again, somebody else could do it. So that could be just, your likes and dislikes. I get it. But now what we're going to do is explore why you chose not to focus on or support that activity, that task, that project, that program, whatever it is, that service function. And it could be because you're uncomfortable with the task. Now, I get it if the task is, something dirty, you have to get involved in getting messy, sloppy, dirty, and nobody likes that, right? It has to be done, right? But if it's something that you're not capable of doing or doing well, that could help us lead down a path of identifying a weakness. If your job requirement is to perform that function, that task, and in fact, maybe you have a few team members and none of you enjoy doing that task, I get it, it's easier said than done, but maybe you learn more about that task, that project, that service item, that program that you need to do that's required, and you find out why you don't want to do it. You find out, well, I don't have the experience that I need, or I'm uncomfortable with that software or with that machine or with that process. Maybe there's something else. I don't understand fully what I'm attempting to do so that I provide the proper outcome. I was just given a task and told to do it, but I don't understand why we're doing it. It seems like busy work. Anything like that gives you time to self-process and say, you know what? Maybe I can learn more about this so I become more comfortable with it. Maybe I'll grow myself, gain an education, learn something new, a new skill. do some studying, some research, either at work if they allow it, or on your personal time to better yourself, and turn that task, that activity, that process, that service, whatever it is that you typically dislike doing, into something you're willing to do. And occasionally, you might volunteer to do it above someone else. You're going to be taking that weakness, which we didn't realize we had, right? Something we chose not to do at work, we dislike doing at work, and turn it into a strength. The next thing you'll do is identify something else that you dislike at work or you're uncomfortable with at work. You can do the same thing in your personal lives. Instead of playing the insanity principle out, if you haven't heard, it's doing the same thing and expecting different results. That's the insanity principle. Doing the same thing and expecting different results. If you have a problem with something, a concern, you're worried about something, it increases your emotions, your anxiety, stress, fear, worry, whatever it is. If that happens, this could be an indicator you're uncomfortable with the tasks or inexperienced, don't have the knowledge, the tools, the mental acuity to do it. All it takes is raising your hand and asking for some help. If you have a teammate or team member, someone that could coach you or train you on that did the job formerly, or you can gain an education on the topic. With so much information out there, from podcasts to YouTube to TED Talks to, I think it's edx.org, which has free training from colleges and universities, there's so much we can learn. Start taking the things that you're uncomfortable with, which potentially could represent areas you're not interested in working on, or it shows areas that you shy away from or divert from at work, and start making them strengths. Start improving upon your weaknesses. And by the way, while we're talking about weaknesses and overcoming them, let's say that we rate one of your strengths, that you're a very methodical person, you're very well organized, and let's rate that at 92, very strong A-level player, right? And then you have a weakness that there's a certain software program at work, and I'm just making this up, that you really don't enjoy working with. It's difficult to use. You find it cumbersome. Many times you receive error messages or have even trouble logging in to start the process. You kind of dread it, okay? Pick whatever that is in your mind and just work with me on this. And so we're going to say that your performance level, your interest level in using that software is a 65, right? It's a really low grade. You're close to failing on a, you know, A through F grading scale. If you were to work on your A grade and work really hard at improving, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to make significant increases. You're going to do what's called polishing that A. It was a 92, I think we said. You could work extremely hard and put in, you know, tens of hours, hundreds of hours over a period of time and think, man, I've really improved myself in this area. And guess what? If you were to grade it again or be graded again, it's going to be really hard for people to see your improvement because you already were an A player. You've just polished it up maybe a half a point or a point from a 92 to 92.5, 93. But yet you've put so much energy and effort in. Well, it's good to be recognized that you've put in the effort, the passion, the training, the knowledge, but you didn't really do what's called moving the needle. It's going to be hard for others, for outsiders, to see how you've made an improvement change. It might be hard to hear, but that's the reality on the other side of it. Now, I emphasize that for a reason. Let's switch back to the core of our message today, identifying weaknesses so that we can then overcome them. You've got this other area of weakness that's a 65. I think it's a dreaded software I made up, right? It could be a printer. It could be anything in your work, you know, that you're using, that you're concerned about, bothered by, dislike, have lack of knowledge of, or you've been trained and your training doesn't seem to match the use of the tool or the functionality behind the tool. Then you say, I'm going to go ahead and get some help. I know there's others on my team that use this software, use this tool, use this item. And if they can teach me how to perform better, then I'll be more effective and maybe more willing to use this tool. That 65, which is nearly a failing grade, now becomes a 75 or an 80. You know, you're averaging up, you're moving up. Eventually, your goal would be to become an A player. So that's what's called a step change. Identifying a weakness, improving upon it, and making a step change. Literally just like stairs, you're taking a big step up from that 65, maybe it's a 75 or an 80, and then it goes up from there as you rise up with your education, your knowledge. So think about the things that you dislike in your personal life, things that you dislike or have trouble with at work, and there could be a long list. What I would suggest you do, if it's 3, 5, or heck, 10 or more items, I get it. There are a lot of activities that we have to do in our daily lives, including work that we don't always want to do or that we dislike. List a couple of them down and then prioritize them. Which one is giving you the most trouble, or which one do you do, but it's the most frequently, the one you do most frequently, meaning I don't like doing this task or activity, but unfortunately it's required once every hour. It's required every day at the beginning, middle, or end of my shift. You might want to work on that next because that's the one that gives you the most trouble, might amplify your weakness. And then by working on that and strengthening that up, it will be easier to perform that task or activity, even if it takes a lot of training because you have such a great frequency of using this task or tool. Whatever it is, it'd be best to get your training done so that you can overcome that problem area. Then look what's next on your list. Well, I've got these two items here. They're both about equal. One I do once a week and one I do once a month. Well, you might want to pick the one you do once a week. Now, there is a difference, though. If the activity, task, or process, tool, software, whatever it is for you that you do once a week, if it's a short amount of time and you struggle and you get through it, maybe you're not as efficient or as effective as you like to be, that's once a week. And that trumps the once a month. Unless the once a month, let's say, is a very large effort. It's a very lengthy, long, schedule-based process or reporting, and it takes you hours, then it would be worth trying to improve on that once a month function so that you could then cut down the time needed to provide that product or service, whatever it is you're working on, or that tool or system you're using, so you become more efficient at it. Then from there, I would then go to the weekly tasks and so forth. And again, keeping track daily of things that are pet peeves of yours, things that you try to avoid, those can lead to recognition of weaknesses in your area, and maybe it could be a form of growth for you for this year. You can't necessarily change everything instantly or even in the same day that you've heard this show, but you can work forward by making a list of activities that you want to improve upon. And here's a bonus for today's show. Once you've improved upon those tasks, activities, services, use of that software, the tools, whatever it is, that equipment, keep a log of it. That way you can show that you are taking proactive steps, thinking about things in advance, evaluating your skills, evaluating your abilities, and wanting them to move forward. You've overcome weaknesses and improved yourself. That training is good for a training log, as well as discussions with your supervisor or manager, showing them how you're trying to stride forward and move forward and make improvements. I hope today's show, that's 195, identifying and overcoming your weaknesses, has helped you, or at least given you some food for thought. We've talked about things that we'd like to avoid, things that we'd like to repeat, and then areas of strength and areas of weakness. If you found today's show valuable, I would appreciate you sharing it with a family member, a friend, a colleague, a fellow student if you're in school. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. I'm Craig Ansell, your host, and this has been the Career Growth Made Easy podcast. Have a wonderful week ahead.